and welcome to the Leadership Connection. I'm your host, Doug Plucknett, and today I'm sitting with one of my old colleagues, Sean Eisenhower. Not that he's really that old, but I worked with him several years, and at Allied Reliability, and we both worked in the training group, and I was always impressed by Sean's ability to go and push that group in a different direction. I'm still one of them old school PowerPoint guys, and Sean really has the knack for taking what he's out there to teach to a different level, using all types of multimedia and exercises, and rather a dynamic instructor. Aside from that, the guy's also had the courage to take the step to start his own company, and really takes a lot of leadership and experience to do that. So when it came time to put together a list of people that I wanted to talk to about leadership, Sean was on that list right from the start. So welcome, Sean. It's good to talk to you today.
Well, Doug, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, and I appreciate all the nice things you said.
All right. So tell me about your background, where you went to school, the companies you worked for, and the roles you held while working at those companies.
Awesome. Yeah, so I originally came out of North Carolina State University. I'm an engineering grad from up there, and really jumped right into engineering in kind of a project role with a company called Sunoco Products. Worked for them doing a lot of what I would best classify as maintenance engineering type projects and reliability engineering type projects. Worked for them for quite a while, and then left to go to work for ExxonMobil. Worked for ExxonMobil as a reliability engineer, as a reliability supervisor, managing a team of predictive technologists, and so got a lot of good experience there on really what reliability was. But you know, it was experience through making mistakes and having to learn from them. It wasn't necessarily that there was a lot of education available at that point. So a little later on in my life, I went to get some of that education and must have asked too many questions during the class, because at the end of the class, I got a job offer to come over to the dark side and work in the consulting world where you and I met. And so I spent, I don't know, probably 10 or 12 years traveling all over the world, working with different companies from a reliability consulting standpoint. So a little bit about my background, and then now I am one of the partners here with Iridicio, based out of Charleston, South Carolina, and we work and focus on education and training for manufacturing.
All right, so looking back on your career, when were you first recognized as a leader? Where were you working, and you know, what project or type of things were you working on when you first got that recognition, you think?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I would probably go back to even prior to graduation from college. I was working for a company at the time, part-time, to kind of pay for my college education, and the company was called The Nature Company. I don't even think it exists anymore, but started out there working just on the sales floor, and after maybe about 6 months or so, they invited me into the management side. So as a, you know, as a college student, I was able to work in a assistant manager role with that organization. And I would say that's probably one of the more formal first times that I pulled into a leadership role.
All right. So in your career, is there someone, or could be two or three people, that you look to as a mentor, and what did you learn from those people?
Man, I've had so many mentors over the years. I have to say, you know, I'm going to name a few names, but I have to say I've been really lucky, and I can't say enough appreciative words about a lot of the folks that I met. I'll talk about SMRP a little later, but through the Society of Maintenance and Reliability Professionals, I met a lot of really cool people that were willing to give their time and help me understand things that my young mind didn't comprehend. As I think back, some of the ones that really shaped who I am today, folks like Ron Moore, Ron Moore took the time to help me understand how to train and how to teach. And some of the things, Doug, you mentioned in the opener, really, I learned the basics of those from Ron Moore and watching him present and him giving me feedback on things. So, that was an amazing thing. Some others, Mike Aroney taught me a lot about leadership and understanding the management and leadership sides of organizations. And so he definitely has been a mentor of mine over the years. And then, there are many others that I could talk about, folks like John Schultz and Jack Nicklaus, and just a lot of folks that took the time out of their day to say, hey, here's something you can do better, here's something you can do different, or here, try this. And those are some of the ones that come to mind really quickly, but there are definitely a lot of folks out there that have been very helpful over the years.
We've worked with a lot of giving and tremendous people throughout the years. And your mention of SMRP, if I look back on my career, that's probably one of the mistakes that I made was, when I started Reliability Solutions, Tim Gosher tried to really invite me into that SMRP committee group, and I was just too busy, right? And I look back now and say, wow, that was really probably a mistake. I probably should have jumped right in on that because it really is a great organization. So moving forward, what are some of the things that motivated you to become a leader?
I think first of all, I really love helping people, especially people that have a passion and want to win. And I think that drives me to want to lead groups and organizations. When I see, somebody who gives 110% nearly all the time, and wants to continuously learn and continuously do things differently and try it and fail. And many times fail and learn from it, right? Those are the things that make me really want to facilitate that. And I see, leadership as facilitating someone to do what they do really well.
Excellent. Looking back at your career, what are some of the accomplishments you made that you're most proud of?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of accomplishments through the years that I'm proud of. I'll expand a little bit on the SMRP piece that we talked about a second ago. I got involved really young into SMRP. A couple of folks, invited me, kind of like you were talking about Tim Goschert inviting you, invited me to be a part of it. And so, being the youngest board member at SMRP when I was there was a fun thing for me, and it's something I take a lot of pride in. And I learned a ton from the people that sat around that table. On that same kind of path, I would say being the first supplier organization chairman, or a chairman from a consulting company, in the history of SMRP, or at least the recent history of SMRP, was also kind of fun for me because, I got to kind of combat some thoughts and some theories that it would be bad to have suppliers in those roles. And I think we had a very successful run. And, I spent about 12 or 13 years working very closely with SMRP, and then it was a great experience.
All right. So now that you're in this role where you have your own company and you've had to obviously hire some people and maybe even promote some people, what are some of the traits that you look for in people in terms of promoting and hiring?
Oh man, this is a good one. So I'll talk a little bit about a couple things that I think. I mean, one of the first things, and Doug, you and I've talked about this over the years, but one of the first things for me is good communication skills. If you're not open with your communication, and I know everyone talks about communication, but it's just so vital that there is that this individual who's going to be in a leadership role can pick up the phone or answer a text or make sure that communication channel is open all the time so that we can work as a group, not as individuals. And I think a part of what a leader does is he brings that group together and helps them work cohesively to develop better things. So communication is my first one, but that's probably not a surprise. Grit or work ethic is probably my second one. You know, here it's the desire to continuously get better, to keep working, to dig at what you want to do. And when I look at folks that want to be leaders in organizations, and we have some really good ones in our organization, I think about, you know, do they have the grit? Do they have the work ethic to get in there? Because leading's not easy. You know, leading takes continuous learning. It takes a lot of things that we know is above and beyond. And so they've got to be comfortable with that. And then, you know, kind of tying into that, the last thing that I look for is a desire to continuously learn. In fact, I would say that leaders are learners. If they ever stop learning, they're probably shortly going to stop leading. And so that is the third trait for me. That is another thing that I definitely look for when I'm looking for leaders within an organization.
Interesting. You know, I was doing some work recently with a customer here in Rochester, New York, and through their hiring practices, they showed me basically an interview sheet that they were using, right? And they said, "Do you have any input? What was there anything else you'd add to that?" And you and I briefly talked before we started here about failures, and I said, "Yeah, I think every interview should include the question, tell me about when you failed and what happened and what you did in response to that failure." Right? That's really a sign of a good leader too, is they're able to admit that, man, sometimes things don't go right, and you have to be able to react, respond, and correct, right? And move forward. So,
That's a great point. You really do. And I mean, you will make mistakes. There is no one book. There is no instruction manual that you can follow. You're going to get put in situations where you have to make calls. And sometimes, quite frankly, the answer or the call you make is not the right answer or is not the best answer, if you will. But I think the big thing for leaders is, did they look back at that? Did they learn something from it? And they do something differently moving forward?
absolutely. So tell me, every leader that I've ever met talks about a training course or a book that inspired them, or are there any courses that you could recommend to our listeners where that you think would be good, and what did you learn from that course or that book?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the books because I think talking about the courses is a little self-serving since we're a trading company.
Take my
So
courses.
let's talk a little bit about some books, and there are tons of great books, and I'd be more than happy to share my long list with folks if they reach out to me. But you know, one of the books that I would recommend that just gave me a good way of thinking and a good understanding in our specifically our reliability space was Making Common Sense Common Practice by Ron Moore. You know, it gave me a look, it gave me a way to see things that was a little different than what I had done in the past. Now I want to talk about a new book, a book that I'm reading right now that I am just enamored with. It's called The Obstacle Is the Way. It's by Ron Holiday, or sorry, Ryan Holiday, and I've just really, really enjoyed the messaging in this book. And it really focuses on the fact that whether you're in leadership or anything else, you're going to face trials, you're going to face issues, you're going to hit obstacles, and how you take on those obstacles is very critical to how successful you can be in the long term. It's a good book. It's a short book. It's only about 200 pages, and it's a small book, so those pages aren't full of a lot of words. But there is a lot of really good points in here that I would say can make a really big difference for folks that are in those leadership roles.
All right, fantastic. Thank you. If you were forced to pick one way or the other, is leadership a natural skill or a learned skill?
You know, I this is a question I've thought about quite a bit, and I would have to answer it this way. I would say that it's a learned skill, but some of the best have natural ability. And I know
Okay.
that's kind of cheating on your answer, right? I'm cheating a little bit, but I do believe you can learn to be a leader. I do. I think the military does a wonderful job of demonstrating that they can create a class of leaders that come out of that organization. So I do believe it's a learned skill. But just like anything else, I can learn to play basketball. I can learn to play a banjo, which is something I'm working on right now. I can learn those things, but if I don't have that innate skill, that natural skill, at the end of the day, I'm never going to play for the NBA, and I don't think anybody's going to call me to listen to my banjo.
Interesting. By the way, I a few days ago did this with Matt Meyer, and Matt's comment, which I really thought was square on with this, was I think people lots of times confuse charisma and personality with leadership, right? And he says not that those things aren't traits that leaders have, and he goes that'll help you get recognized, but the reality is you have to learn. So I've really enjoyed this question and the comments that I've gotten back from people that that's a good one. So someone once told me that in our world you can either be a leader or a manager. What are your thoughts regarding that statement?
I think you can be both, and I think you can be both at the same time. And I'll give you an example. I do believe that I can be leading an organization through a change, and I am pulling them out of their comfort zone and into a new area while managing other parts of the business where I want them to stay very structured and not make changes. So in my mind, and I may oversimplify this a little bit, and everyone may not agree with my definition, but in my mind, a leader is moving an organization or an individual to a new location. A manager is kind of containing them there once they arrive. And so if that's my definition, then I can be doing both of those in different facets of the organization.
All right, very good. I like your comment. I can say that throughout my career, I think I've worked with maybe two that accomplished both, right? And did both well.
Yeah,
And I'm
that's
not
fair.
saying
It's tough. It's tough.
that they're separate things, but that is a tough thing to do, right? Because the comments that you get sometimes when your people see you as a leader and then you have to step into that management role is they'll say, well, you don't really buy what you sell, right? Because you're making us try to control these numbers or you're making us try to control this when you're telling us, go outside the box, don't be afraid to, so on and so forth. All right. So at this point in your career, Sean, what would you say is your greatest success?
Wow. I broke this kind of into two areas. Personally, I think, my greatest success is my daughter. She's pretty special to me, and she has a pretty tough go of it. Her life has been kind of challenging. She's special needs, and she has to work a little harder than everybody else. So that one is definitely a big one for me. But I would say, outside of that, in the business world, it's probably the startup of Iridicio and the leadership of the IBL product, which very, very well from back in our days. I got to kind of come in on the ground floor of that and be a part of a team of folks, myself, Darren Wyckoff, Brandon Will, and others that kind of developed this IBL product. It was something that really didn't exist on the mar in the marketplace, and then thanks to John Schultz and others, we were able to step away from the company that we originally built that with, and step into a role of kind of starting a whole new company that was built on that IBL process, that inspired blended learning process. And so I would say that's definitely on the business side, very much important to me. But at the end of the day, especially coming out of these last 12 weeks that we've spent a lot more time at home with our loved ones, I got to say I'm pretty proud of my daughter.
Very good. And I not only enjoyed the answer, I appreciate the emotion. All right. There's nothing more important to family. And when I look at my accomplishments, I'd probably say the same thing. It's really my family and being able to provide, being able to be there. As you know, in the consulting role, when you end up doing a lot of that traveling, man, there's things you miss and it just tears your heart apart. Right. And so you look for that balance and That's one, you talked about Ron Moore as a mentor, and that's one of the things that I did call Ron specifically about, was to say, how do I find that balance? You've been in this for years, right? What do I need to do to feel good about not only making a living, but finding a way to be there when I'm needed, right? And Ron really gave me some great ideas and tips on that, and I'm forever thankful for that. So anyway, we've come to our point where we close out here, and I'd really like to thank you for being part of this today. I'm also going to give you a shot here to say, what are some of the things where we can find about Sean Eisenhower and your DCO? Give yourself a plug.
Well, thank you. The quickest way to connect with me personally is probably on LinkedIn. I use LinkedIn quite a bit. It's a great way to communicate and meet up with folks. In fact, you and I had our first conversation about this event through LinkedIn. So that's definitely a great place to connect, and I'd love to connect with folks on LinkedIn and learn more about what they're doing and how they're leading, and hopefully we can learn from each other. I also, I'm a huge fan of continuous learning and education. So we have quite a few blogs available that I get to author some of the content, but others in the organization also provide content to that. So you get a nice mix there. There's a blog on the erudito.com page. That's erudito.com. My blog, which I've had for 8 or 10 years, is called reliabilitynow.com, and that's a great place to go and kind of look for specific topics that you're looking for. And then we have a third blog over on hpreliability.com. So there's three different blogs there that people can find content from myself and others in the organization here. So I think those can be great resources, but at the end of the day, I just would ask people to reach out, give me a call. I love chatting with people. I love texting with folks and finding out what their challenges are and what they're doing and seeing, how I can help and where we may be able to add some value. We just came out of course, the COVID crisis and have been all of us working from home quite some time. So I have had the joy of working with a lot of folks during that time, just as they reached out and worked through various things. And so I invite that we continue to do that, and love to hear from more folks moving forward.
All right, Sean, it's been a pleasure, my friend. Thank you all for tuning in to the Leadership Connection. I'm Doug Bucknett, and we'll see you next time. Have a good day.